This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast. It's all things business across the state of Florida. And if you've been tuning in lately, you know that we're coming to you from the annual Florida Economic Development Council's conference. We are all these episodes are taking place in beautiful downtown St. Pete. We are at the Hilton Bayfront, and I can tell you it has it's been enlightening. It's been informative, and we really have enjoyed our couple of days here in downtown St. Pete with the Florida Economic Development Council. Serving as co-host for all the episodes that we have created and produced here at the FEDC conference is our good friend and standout business school professor, Dr. Herb Ricardo. Again, Herb, can't thank you enough for hanging in there with us for all these episodes and serving as co-host for Small Biz Florida.
Tom, it's been great. It's been a joy being here.
I know. I love it. And I think we've done good work here, Dr. Ricardo. I think we've gotten a lot of good information out. And, of course, it's not stopping yet.
Great candidates and support.
Right. So, again, I think anybody who tunes in to Small Biz Florida kind of knows that the mission here is real simple with our podcast. It's to provide timely information to small business owners, expose and highlight business resources and assistance programs across the state of Florida that help and support small business organizations and support the small business community across the state of Florida. And our guest now is no different, really going to be a great conversation about some innovative strategies and tactics in a very important area, recruitment and retention of workforce. We've got with us John Burgess, who serves as an attorney and certified public accountant with the law firm of Shoemaker. John, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Tom, Herb, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Absolutely. I love this conversation. We had a chance to talk a little bit before we hit the record button. So really some interesting conversation here, John. Obviously, we all recognize that right now businesses are struggling with workforce issues, struggling to find employees, struggling to build teams within their organization, struggling with retention. And so it is time for businesses to become innovative in all these HR issues. Would you say that's kind of a fair assessment of where we are in terms of workforce in the state of Florida?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's everywhere. It doesn't matter what size business you're at. You know, you've got a lot of people who are looking to move around, and you've got to get creative and do things to keep them around. And hopefully you're growing and you're looking to bring in more people. Right. And so the more tools you have in your toolbox, that's going to, you know, make your business stand out and help you hire and retain people. And so that's a lot of what I do in my day job is help businesses create those programs and get them in place and help them build towards the future.
I love it. And but I want to start real quick before we get into your channels and tools to help these businesses, because I love this conversation. You know it is interesting. Dr. Ricardo, we talk and, you know, we're always, when we're teaching business classes and teaching those management and those, business courses and entrepreneurship, we talk about, differentiation, setting your business apart. What is my unique value proposition? And this really is the conversation, but it's in terms of how do we differentiate ourselves and what is our unique value proposition in terms of recruitment and retention of workforce? So I love this conversation.
I think what we're going to end up being, we're going to start talking about is productivity and motivation.
Yeah.
And how we can drive that within employees and these specific plans.
I love
totally.
It. So John, I want to start though, as we do with every guest, just a little bit of your background. And your pathway to becoming an attorney associated with the law firm of Shoemaker.
Well, this goes back a long way. I am a Cleveland
native.
You're
not that old. I can't go back that far, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Cleveland native, like about half the people who live down here. So right at home. Started out at my career as a CPA, worked for a little firm called Arthur Anderson way back in the day. So that'll give you at least a sense of how old I am.
Right.
And actually the Enron thing and Anderson fell apart in my third year of law school. So wound up coming out of law school, worked in Cleveland for a few years, then went to DC for about a dozen years. That started in 2006 and worked for Seyfarth Shaw, which is a big benefits and labor and employment firm. And really, you know, learned a lot of the stuff that I know now when I was back there. Did, you know, focused a lot on 401k plans, on qualified plans, health insurance, those types of things. Got a little bit into the ESOPs and the equity compensation part, but not as much as I really wanted to. And so, long story short, me and my wife and I had always been looking to move down here to Florida. We, you know, had a couple of false starts and almost got down here. And finally, it all kind of lined up in 2017. Shoemaker is, you know, between our Tampa and Sarasota offices, we're the biggest business law firm on the Gulf Coast. But they didn't have anybody down here who did the type of stuff that I do. It was all, you know, being moved up to our other offices. So they're kind of like, this is dumb. We got to get somebody down here who does this kind of stuff. And so I was looking, they were looking, and everything just kind of lined up. And so in July of 2017, I came down here and been here ever since and just, you know, looking to grow our presence and nice. And set up a niche for ourselves and for myself as somebody who is going to be able to help business owners with, you know, these equity compensation issues. I still play in the 401k in the health plan sandboxes, but, you know, I really love doing ESOPs. I really love doing equity comp because you're really in those spaces, you know, you're changing lives. We were talking about some stories before we came on here about the door company in Chicago that just got sold for $3 billion. And there's about 800 employees who are getting, you know, on the average, I think $150K each from the proceeds of that sale because they had an equity stake in the company. So you see those stories and you see Publix. I mean, Publix is the biggest ESOP company in America. You know, there are a boatload of millionaires walking around Lakeland, Florida. Why? Because they were all working for Publix for decades and they had stock in the company and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So it's really cool to see the results of that.
All right. So let's go back to the beginning of this this story, because I want to make sure that we start there so we understand what we're talking about. But so, you know, back to the workforce issue. You know, we're struggling with hiring, retaining good, you know, employees. So we've got to be creative. We've got to be creative as business owners to offer the kind of you know, have the kind of tools and resources in HR. And we've also got to be able to offer unique programs to our employees. So to that is where you come in helping that business owner create that unique employment engagement opportunity through a percentage of ownership in the business, as you put it, equity compensation. And so start us there. Talk about what are some of those innovative ways that we can build that loyalty, and to Dr. Ricardo's point, really create that very productive, engaged team around our business.
Sure. And these are concepts that have been around the public company world for, you know, ages and ages. I mean, you know, you've probably all heard of stock options. You've probably all heard of restricted stock and restricted stock units. And, you know, those are really the same tools that we're using for private businesses too. It's just that, you know, it's maybe not on as big of a scale as some of those public companies use, but they're important. I mean, you know, you need to be able to have something there to, you know, help, like you said, retain people, attract people. And these are great ways to do it. I've, you know, over the past, especially 2 years with, you know, with COVID and the Great Resignation and all the other stuff that's going on out there, you know, business owners are coming to us and saying, hey, look, you know, we think we compensate our people fairly, but you know, we need that extra sort of kicker on there. And in a lot of cases too, business owners will come to me and say, all right, you know, I've got this business. I'm probably looking to sell it in about 5 to 7 years. So what can we put in place where we're going to really align my interest as a business owner with the interest of my employees? And so you put something in place with that, you kind of get everybody on the same bus and they're all going in the same direction. And then when that transaction or that change in control event does happen, you know, those employees also get a big benefit out of it as well. And so, you know, that helps motivate them, it helps retain them, does all the great things that, you know, other forms of employee ownership do. You know, I go back to Publix again. You know, Publix is 90% owned by its employees. Well, why are all of its stores different? It's because you have that culture, you have that sense of ownership. You know, this is maybe not on as grand of a scale of that, but it's still really important to get everybody lined up. And then, you know, that helps keep people around. It helps your best performers stick around to be motivated. And in the end, you know, everybody does well.
Well, and you know, obviously, it's in the name of our podcast, Small Biz Florida. I mean, most of our listeners are going to be small business owners, and they're going to say, "Well, you know, those are concepts that just I can't use in my small business." You know, you're talking Publix, but these concepts can be used in small business. Talk a little bit about scaling these down to a small business level.
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. All the concepts all apply the same across the board. I mean, you know, startups have been using these things, especially Silicon Valley. You know, they were really at the forefront of that back in the 90s and the dot-com era. So it's really just taking the same things and just, you know, you're instead of giving them to 100 employees, maybe you're only giving them to, you know, 2 or 3. But it's really simple to put these things together. And the best thing is there's no, you know, one-size-fits-all solution. You know, what I typically do with a business owner when they're looking for me to put something in place on the equity comp side, you know, the thing I always tell them is that there are really two big questions that you have to answer in order for us to get to the right answer for you. Number one is, do you want people to have real equity ownership in the company, meaning they're actual stockholders or unit holders, you know, however your business is organized, they actually have a true stake in the company. That's one question. Second question is, do you want to give them just a flat, you know, percentage of you're going to have X percent of the company going forward? Or do you want it to be on what you would call an appreciation basis, where you give them something and says, okay, this is our baseline. This is what our company is worth now. And you're going to get X percent of any growth that happens between now and, you know, whenever you leave or whenever we sell the company. So once they answer those two questions, we've got a pretty good idea of where we want to take them. And, you know, there are obviously little details around the edges that we work out, but you get them to start to think about it that way. That really helps them out. And what I actually have is I have these tables that I give out to business owners who are thinking about this to say, you know, these are the different alternatives. This is a little bit about how they work. Here are some tax features of each one. And you throw that in front of them. There, you know, there's a separate one for C corporations, one for S corporations, one for LLCs. And you give that to them, and that starts to get the wheels turning. They're like, okay, I like this feature. Maybe I don't like this one in particular. And eventually you get them there. You plug in a plan. It's, you know, compared to some other things, it's relatively inexpensive to do, but it's a great way to compensate people and give them that stake in the business, be it a real stake or a sort of an artificial stake.
Right. So, Dr. Ricardo, I ask you, you have literally written the book on organizational management, and talk about this because you have written a number of articles on employee engagement, which has been a big issue over the last decade. Connect us to employee engagement and productivity to plans like this.
You know, this is absolutely terrific. And John, you're spot on, because think about this. What you're trying to do is you're trying to motivate your employees. And what you can do is you can increase their wage by a dollar, let's say going from $20 an hour to $21 an hour. But again, it's being spent that minute and everything else. And of course, it doesn't go any further. But what happens is when you have stake in the organization, you have stake in the company that you're working in, suddenly that resonates. Every day you go there, you want to make it better. Everybody you're working with, you want to make it better. And then what happens when the quality goes up and everything else and the product or the service is greater, then what happens is the company does better, and then you ultimately do a lot better. And so you know, when we look at the Publix model, you get people who will stay in a position for 20, 30 years because they know they're going to come out with a good amount of money. But it's not only that they're just staying, they're staying and they're giving value to that organization. And of course, what have they done? They've given value to the customer. So it becomes a better product, becomes a better service. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally. I mean, one of the things we talk about a lot in the ESOP world is culture. And, you know, how do you foster that culture where people are acting exactly like you're saying there? And with this equity comp, it's on a little bit smaller scale, obviously, but the same sorts of things apply. You know, you want people who are dedicated and engaged. And, you know, they know that if they work hard and they make the business better and make the business more valuable, there's going to be something waiting for them at the end. And with Publix, I mean, most of those people who stay there 25 years, I mean, they're set for life when they retire. I mean, you hear stories all the time about people who work for Publix for 20, 25 years, and, you know, they're ready to retire at 55, and they got no concerns about running out of money because that ownership stake is what drives it for them.
And I can only imagine, having been a small business owner and certainly being very engaged in my HR issues quarterlies and W-2s and all those issues that are involved in payroll and HR. It is complex and it can get a little taxing for small business owners. So I'm assuming there is obviously some you need a person like you to kind of navigate this for the small business owner, because I can imagine that many small business owners, especially those that have been around for a while, would say that's going to complicate my business. You know, this is going to get complicated. Now I'm going to have employees who consider themselves owners, or, you know, are they going to be able to dictate strategies, moving forward with the business? So I'm sure there are your own strategies that you deploy when putting together these kind of compensation plans. Kind of take us through that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, you can make these things as simple or as complicated as you want to. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of saying, here, I'm going to give you, 5% of the company, and it's a complete 5%. You have voting rights, you have all this, that, and the other thing, and you're, just on the same level as the sort of historical owner. You know, most of the time, if people are getting awards like this and they are getting real stock or they're getting real units in the company, you know, most of the time, not all the time, but usually they're non-voting. So, you're just kind of along for the ride as an investor. You don't really have any necessarily say in the business. You do have, some rights as a shareholder, and those are state law things that you can't really get rid of. But, we always make sure that if they don't have a shareholders agreement in place or a good LLC operating agreement in place, make sure you put that in. You have to cover contingencies, like what happens if this person leaves, and they're vested in their shares, what do we do with them? And, typically the owner or the company will want to buy them back. Usually, if they're vested, usually at fair market value. Sometimes there's a discount, and there are, different little tax rules that you sometimes have to navigate, especially with S corporations. But, you think about those things up front so that you deal with all those different scenarios. You hate to think about an employee either becoming disabled or dying, but you got to think about that, and you got to lay that out up front. And the other thing too is that you also have to worry about, in a lot of cases, some tax rules that are very quirky, very detailed. And, the last thing you want to do is set up this plan. It looks great. Everybody says, okay, this is an awesome thing that we're doing here, but there's some little tripwire in the tax regulations that you ran over. So, you got to have somebody who's familiar with those rules, and even just, regular sort of tax or corporate attorneys, they may kind of know that they're out there, but they may not know all the details. They may not know exactly where those issues are. And so you need to have somebody who is used to dealing with those things.
Is this increasing in popularity? Is your phone kind of ringing now for companies that want to talk about this?
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah. I mean, especially, I think, when I was in D.C., it's not quite as, I guess, entrepreneurial up there as far as the businesses. They're older, they're more established, they're kind of more set in their ways. you know, here there are a lot of people, you know, this is either a first generation business or maybe a second generation business. And so you're working with people who either started the thing or their father started the thing or their parents or, you know, it's kind of really growing up and really maturing. And so, you know, they are willing to think about these things and, you know, they ultimately want to reward their employees. They want to keep them around. They want to motivate them. And so, I mean, this is just, I mean, it's a ton of what I do right now.
Is this also somewhat tied to succession planning? Is this part of maybe the way I'm going to try to exit out of my business and get the value out of the business?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody, obviously every owner's got different motivations. So again, you know, like I said before, no, it's no one size fits all approach. But occasionally we'll put one of these programs in place where the owner has a business which, you know, maybe isn't big enough for an ESOP or just isn't set up right for an ESOP. I mean, I love ESOPs. I'll do them all day if I can, but, you know, it's not right for every business. So one of the ways that they do their succession planning is through these types of programs where maybe instead of, you know, setting up a big ESOP, which is, you know, an expensive process, you're doing things, you know, more like restricted stock or options so that people are starting to buy their way into the business. And so, you know, it's not quite like a management buyout, but a lot of the way that it happens and a lot of the end result is very similar to that. So, you know, like I said, you know, the business owner comes to me and it's just a complete blank slate. It's like, hey, what are you trying to accomplish here? And then we figure out the best way to get them there.
Are you finding that even if a CEO or a business owner believes in it, how is HR responding to it? I mean, will they bring in HR to talk to you, the human resources department?
They will a little bit. This is typically something, though, that is handled at the CEO or the business owner level. I mean, you do need to have HR involved because there are tax ramifications. You do have to keep track of all, you know, all the shares that are out there. But for the most part, you know, when you're involving HR, you're looking at things like, you know, maybe we want to, let's say, increase our match to our 401k plan,
right, sure,
on a more global basis. You know, that stuff where HR gets involved. This is more along the lines of CEO and owner level, and they're really the ones who are driving the bus as far as the succession plan.
Nice. How does one kind of start the process with you, John?
Just either give me a call or email me and say, hey, I'm, you know, interested in putting one of these things into play for my company, you know, and, you know, what I'll do is I'll sit there and I'll, you know, take a half hour Zoom meeting or in-person meeting or phone call or whatever, and just say, okay, you know, number one, before the meeting, I'll ask them what kind of, how their entity is taxed, you know, C-Corp, S-Corp, LLC. I'll send them that table that I was talking about and say, all right, take a look at this, start to think about it. And then we'll get on the phone or we'll get onto a Zoom meeting for half an hour and we'll walk through some of these alternatives, try and figure out what the best plan is for you. And then, you know, eventually you talk through it a little bit. They maybe think about a few things. They go back and they say, okay, all right, this is what I want to do. And we'll start rolling and getting the plans in place. And, you know, it, like I said, it can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. So this isn't one of those things where, you know, you're spending tens and tens of thousands of dollars in order to get this in place. I mean, right, you know, most of these things that I can put in place from a legal fee standpoint, I mean, yeah, they're, you know, relatively expensive, inexpensive. They're usually, you know, under 10 at least, you know, okay, in most cases. So you don't need to break the bank for this type of thing. But when you consider, you know, the costs of things like turnover and bringing new people in,
right,
it can pay for itself pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Dr. Ricardo can talk to us about, you know, the cost of recruiting new employees versus the cost of retaining them. I mean,
yeah, turnover. I mean, it's just, I mean, I think that this is, and you're talking about Florida is really moving towards this. Yeah, it's definitely a great way to support the employee. Yep.
And again, I think before we went on, you know, I told the story about a friend of the family who worked for a, you know, a statewide, you know, construction product company, and the original owner basically gave away 49% of the company to the employees. And when he sold that company for $500 million, you know, he certainly helped, like you said, change the lives of
exactly
a lot of employees.
That's what it's all about.
And he still had more money than he ever knew how to spend.
Totally.
So I like it, John. I appreciate you taking time out to join us here on Small Biz Florida and talk about it, because I really do believe at this point, I think we got some business owners out there probably really scratching their heads. How do we differentiate ourselves in this HR world, this workforce, arena to attract and build a better team?
Yeah. And, we love helping them out. I mean, I love working with business owners and they're always engaged. They're always enthusiastic and they love their businesses. Their businesses are like their babies.
Right.
And so we help them. Maybe it's not changing the diapers, but it's, helping the babies grow up a little bit.
Right. It is John Burgess, who is an attorney and certified public accountant. He is with the law firm of Shoemaker. You can find him at shoemaker.com. That's S-H-U-M-A-K-E-R.com. And look John up and have a conversation about getting innovative in the area of compensation to recruit and retain your team.
Yeah, right? I'd love to talk to anybody who's interested. So it's a lot of fun.
We appreciate it, John. And again, thank you, Dr. Ricardo, for co-hosting duties. And we have been bringing all of this to you from the Florida Economic Development Conference here in downtown St. Pete. This is Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.